Why do we hear how fortunate we are to live in our democracy? Why are we spreading democracy throughout the world? Was our constitutional system set up as a democracy? Just after the completion and signing of the Constitution, in reply to a woman's inquiry as to the type of government the founders had created, Benjamin Franklin said, "A republic, if you can keep it."
Selma shows us that America is not the project of any one person. Because the single most powerful word in our democracy is the word we.
The one interesting thing about liberty, if you have a truly free society, that you would be very tolerant of other people, whether it's their lifestyles or whatever they do, because if they don't hurt you, just leave them alone. And that is, you know, even in an economic sense, it's okay. So if we have a free society and a group of people want to get together and they want to have a socialist community and share the wealth and work together and have joint ownership of property, let them do it. It's all up to them. But it's amazing, once it becomes a welfare society, a socialist society, you just try to have your own libertarian society over here and take care of yourself. They won't have any part of it because they need you and they need your money and they need your energy and wealth, which means that it doesn't work for very long. It can work until we consume our wealth, and that is what we have done. We have consumed our wealth. We've known this was coming for many decades because we were living on borrowed money, and it was doomed to fail, and it still is working a little bit because there's still trust. But the trust is about gone. The credibility of government is gone. But it offers us a tremendous opportunity to stand up and know what liberty means and know that liberty is one unit. You don't have personal, religious, and social liberty over here and economic liberty over here. You have to put them together because the right to your life means you have the right to your personal values and your money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Beacon Podcast. It's been a minute and a half. Nick, how's it going?
Good, man. Signing up on my OneNote here.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Everything is good, my brother.
Yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Pretty good. It was pretty good. I had to work, but I was able to fry a turkey at work, and this is the first time I've ever fried a turkey before. You ever fried a turkey?
No, not me personally. I've eaten one that was fried, and it was one of the better turkeys I've ever had.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think that it allows you to make a mistake by overcooking it because it kind of can seal some of the moisture.
Yeah, it holds the juices in.
Yeah. But it was like a day full of, like, I have kind of learned how to hate most holidays now. Like, I'm not a big fan of Veterans Day. I mean, I'm thankful for the veterans, but it has become like a warmongering holiday, right? Where we equate our soldiers with freedom, and that's not true at all. Christmas has become just so freaking materialistic. I hate it.
Yeah.
But Thanksgiving, I think, is one of my favorites still.
Because
I like the whole, like, vibe behind it. Like, I'm thankful, you know, for all the things that I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
I like that. I can get behind that. Let me drop out. That was STP. Remember them?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I was like a seventh grader when they were jamming it out. Brand new stuff.
Dude, they had some jams.
Yeah, they're good, man.
Between the Core album and the Plush album. Awesome.
They're good. And then he came back with like Velvet Revolver. And that. How many albums did they come out with? Just the one? Or?
Ooh. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I guess he's pretty hard to deal with, lead singer Scott Weiland.
Well, yeah.
But that's a rock and roll, I guess, yeah.
Sure. I mean, what do you really want? Like a gathered together guy to be giving you like just hard rock? Like, no, you want somebody who's
playing. Yeah, I don't want my rock stars that don't do drugs and fuck a bunch of chicks. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the fun of being a rock star?
Plus, I think that there's an aspect, too, to doing a lot of those drugs that just unleashes some people's creativity. I don't know if it's this, their brain
definitely
freaking
yeah
out, grabbing on. I saw this article that a lady was given some kind of hallucinogen. I forget. I think it was LSD. But they had her keep doing self-portraits. And the first one was completely sober and, you know, it was just like a standard, like almost like a stick figure like a kid would draw. It's actually pretty bad.
Wow.
And then, you know, she took something. It was like a slow onset something. It took, I think it was like over the process, the time of like a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
But every 10 or 20 minutes, she had to draw a new one. And they kept getting more and more elaborate to when that shit kicked in. It was like she was like flying among the clouds and her hair was becoming like little talking clouds. It was like, damn, that shit looks good, dude.
Paint that on the side of my van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to answer your question. The fried turkey came out good.
Did you brine it?
We did brine it, yeah. Mm. And with like pickling spices and
wow.
And then I made crab cakes for the first time.
Oh.
I've never made those before, but I love them. So I wanted to learn how to make them. Made
yeah, they're not cakes around enough. But we live by the ocean, but there's not that much crabs, I don't think, in our area.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that prevalent in most of the restaurants we have.
No, and the stuff you do get has, like, minimal amounts of crab in it. It has, like, a lot of breading material.
Yeah.
So I wanted this one to be heavy on the crab.
I could tell you a gross story about that if you like.
Yes, I would like.
Because I like crab cakes a lot, too. Like, they're delicious, right?
Yeah.
And I used to work at a restaurant when I was just out of high school, and that was the first time I ever had crab cakes was, you know, we'd serve them and they'd let you have some as a snack in the back or whatever. And, you know, we'd always give out rolls to the people when they first come in. You get rolls as soon as you sit down and this and that. Well, the people, if they didn't eat them all, they would just tell you, Nick, we'll just save them. Put them in, they go in this certain box in the back. Mm-hmm. I never thought nothing of it. You know, I thought, oh, maybe the bakery gives them a discount and takes the ones we don't use or whatever. I never asked. I just threw them in there. Like, some yeah would be underneath the freaking counter for a day or two, pick it up, have half a bite out of it. No problem. Take it, throw it in the box in the back of the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a month goes by and I go, oh, you got somebody pick up the old rolls, huh? And they'd get hard, dude, like a baseball hard, you know?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yeah, that's what happens. And, long story short, what they would do is take all that stale bread and make their own breadcrumbs.
Yes, you told me this.
Yeah, and then that's what they would make the crab cakes with, yeah, like the crunchiness on the outside. They're, you know, pachinko breadcrumbs or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And I was just always like, you know, you guys should have told me that because there was like half-eaten stuff with like baby slobber on it.
Germs on it. Like,
yeah, I picked it up off the ground and I thought, oh, I dropped some. I'll just throw it in the box.
Yeah. For sure, they should have told you.
But that nobody ever got, because it gets deep fried anyway. It kills all the germs, whatever. But
sure, but still.
I'm like, I gave those to people. I used to tell people how good those crab cakes were, you know?
Yeah. So
and they were good. Don't get me wrong. And I ate them.
Yeah. So after that, you had to have like a different practice of, did you just toss the ones that were on the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the and ones people yeah, had been out
know
of?
I only worked there for like a year, but, you know. I was like, thanks for not telling me that, you know, because I ate the shit out of those things.
Yeah.
Because I loved them.
Yep.
I love seafood, though.
You know how much shit, though, we probably eat all the time? That
dude,
we just
if you
don't
knew
know
what
about
was in your food, you wouldn't eat out. You wouldn't go to the Yard House or any of your favorite
there's
places.
There's got to be bugs, and
yeah,
and people don't wash their hands, you know, all the time. And yeah, I bet we eat so much crap.
Oh, dude, you like salads. So do I. I like salads.
Love them.
Yeah? If we were to follow that head of lettuce and those carrots and tomatoes all the way back to their journey to your table, then from them being picked and going on the truck to where, you know, to the chef maybe not washing it to your liking or whatever.
Yeah.
To some punk-ass kid just grabbing it with his hand and throwing it on your plate with a little dressing on there.
Yeah.
You'd be grossed out, dude.
Sure. These kids are like probably, I mean, nothing against, you know, kids or minimum wage earners, but, you know, a lot of them just haven't learned a serious work ethic. They're not waitering at some of these places because that's their passion or whatever.
Well,
you know,
and in most cases, like, because I was there, you know, like, I like the restaurant industry, you know.
Yeah,
you're so busy, they're just like throwing shit together and like, oh, it dropped on the floor a little bit, it's okay, just throw it on there, you
it's
know
barely on there.
Yeah,
probably
the owner of the restaurant I used to work at would pick his nose while he's putting cheesecake on the plate. Gross. You know,
somebody should at least call him out on that. Like, come on, dude.
Well, he didn't want to be like bringing up the cheesecake and have one hanging. He's like, put it on there and
gross. Yeah, or like a little towel or, you know, like disinfectant wipes or something nearby.
Yeah.
Say you say you're a mucus producing person. You produce a lot of mucus. You're gonna have a lot of boogers. Have a way to mitigate this problem, especially if you're a cook. You're gonna be touching stuff that people eat. Boogers, now those are one of the grosser things. I was talking about this with a buddy because we know it's a long story, but actually it's just a fucking long story. But as far as like say people not washing their hands and then touching cups or something like that, gross. Get it. We're not washing their hands after using the bathroom. Number one, gross. Number two, pretty freaking gross.
Yeah, because
right?
You're up in that crevice.
You, I mean, unless you
don't know. Your knuckle could be hitting turds.
Who knows?
Or dingle bars, I mean, whatever.
You got. You should, by, you know, by a certain age, have pretty good skills back there. But something can happen. You could use horrible toilet paper. A finger could
interrupt. Yeah, if you're shitting in public, through. I mean, that's not good toilet paper. That's just like squeegee. You're just basically squeegeeing the shit off of
your ass. Or the people that use leaves or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
But a booger, like what it does in your body is that thing is, its job is to go around your system and to collect, not your whole system, but its job is to collect nasty shit
like dirt
that shouldn't belong in your body.
It's an air filter.
Yeah, it's like a filter, and get rid of it. So it's got horrible shit that nobody wants in their body. Like, the whole design of it is for it not to be in your body. So, you know, if you got boogers, and I just think boogers are pretty disgusting, like, obviously. And if you're a cook, and you're spreading boogers around, then, you know, fuck you. Get a new job.
That's why don't be a dick to your waiters and waitresses or cooks, you know.
Because what if he has a booger in the chamber?
Yeah. It'd be pretty easy.
Could fuck you up.
To mistake that for an old cornflake or something, yeah.
Well, so to answer your question, I had a good Thanksgiving.
Cool, man.
How was yours?
It was good. Our family does like a deep pit turkey every year. And then, so Wednesday night is like a party night. And that's like when we get the fire going and throw the turkeys down into the pit and bury it and all that and dig it up on Thanksgiving Day.
Yep.
And they were good, man. Juicy. There's been years where it doesn't come out that good, and you have to finish it off in the oven, but yeah. It's cool. It's fun. It's all about just the fun. I probably drank too much the night before. So.
Happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How many people? You have a lot of people over?
No, it's probably about 10 people.
Was it your place?
No, it's at my uncle's house.
At your uncle's?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
But I get to do another Thanksgiving today, later on today, you know. With my dad and stuff.
So. Oh yeah, yeah, nice.
So that's always good.
More food.
But yeah, like you said, it is. I think Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. To be honest, like I agree with you that, and I like 4th of July because that usually involves a lot of barbecuing and drinking as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's summertime. It's nice. Flip flops and shorts. You know.
Yeah, I can appreciate 4th of July. I just hate what it's being turned into.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there that just don't know the history of this country, and it becomes really kind of a travesty, you know? They're like, this ain't a Muslim holiday, and if you're Muslim and you don't like it, get the fuck out.
Get out.
Yeah, dude, and it's like, no, actually our system is set up so that doesn't matter what your religion is, we all agreed not to fuck with each other. If you want to go and have a mosque somewhere and do your own thing, that's what this whole thing is about. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a Christian church over there and you're not hurting anybody, go do your own thing. That's what this whole thing is about. And I think just people lose track of that. Like, one thing that's really starting to concern me lately is with all these refugees, this refugee crisis, and it is a crisis, but they are, like, all the talk amongst so-called constitutional Republicans that says, well, we should give these people a religious screen before coming into the country. And, you know, if they're Muslim, then they have to go through a different thing. And if they're Christian, then, they come right in. Oh, really? Okay. How is that not violate the First Amendment? You know, that a government should not respect one religion over another religion. These people don't even know the first part of what makes this thing.
Well, that's them trying to get votes. I think they have to be smarter than that. But like,
Well, they don't have mine, and hopefully if everybody starts learning the Constitution, they won't have theirs either.
Yeah. I think, what do you think about these candidates that are being thrust upon us? I think it's a joke. Everything's a joke right now. It's like they're making it to where most people are going to have to vote for the Democratic side, for either Hillary or it'll be Bernie Sanders, because Trump is just acting like a straight-out joke, right? I mean, he is just stoking the fire in his sense.
And sure.
It's a joke. He's a joke. Am I not?
Well, I agree.
He's pandering to stupid people, for one.
Yeah, for sure. They all are, really. At this point in the game, I don't think there's one genuine candidate up there.
And not on any side.
On any side.
No.
Yeah, I really don't. At this point, the system has... it's been it was infiltrated a long, long time ago. And if you were going to have any kind of financial, like significant financial backing now, our system is it's become like a den of thieves. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I mean, the last candidate that I really liked was Ron Paul. And I don't know if he had big corrupt money behind him or not, but he stuck with the Constitution. That was his platform. I don't do anything that violates the Constitution. And
other candidates laughed at him for it, though.
And they called him a kook.
Stupid, right?
Yeah, they said he was like the kookiest guy ever. If it's kooky nowadays to follow what the Constitution, which is the law of the land, then you know what? I'll be fucking kooky, dude. But I think we should all be kooky.
Yeah.
Because that's still the law. It's still the law. So he's the only motherfucker up there that wants to defend the law and wants to follow the law, what the law is, and protect everybody's
freedom.
Calling him kooky.
Just standard freedom.
It's crazy.
He wouldn't sit up there and be against Muslims, even though he was against abortion, but he was for people's own rights. You know?
Yeah.
What do you think about his son? His son seems like a...
His son is not him.
Yeah, he deviated a little bit from. But doesn't anybody do that to with their family? Like they don't. Nobody.
Yeah, I guess. I come from a. I try to honor what my father did, so I'm trying to like whatever he did. I try to learn from his mistakes and improve upon that.
Yeah.
I you know the Rand Paul's major platform seems to be that he wants to. Go after any Fourth Amendment violations. And that's good, of course. And any violations to any of the amendments, I think, should be gone after and stopped. But his big one is illegal search and seizure. So he's into, you know...
warrantless searches.
The warrantless searches. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's really... But to me, it's like such a cookie cutter, just one thing that he's focusing on. Why isn't he focusing on the Constitution as a whole? Like, for anybody that knows the Constitution, like today, we're going to talk about the Constitution. And you guys are going to learn some awesome stuff. You're going to learn a awesome principle about the Constitution, and you'll never hear this come out of any politician's mouth.
Ever. I think it's him thinking ahead. Like, if he thinks he's going to be the front runner for that party, he'll probably be going up against like Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist who is against you having private property.
So he's defending.
I think a lot of these candidates, what they'll do is harp on one big thing to get a popularity. Like Trump's huge on Mexicans for some reason. Like that's not our biggest problem. It isn't at all. But people are like, yeah, what the hell, man? Shit. You know, but it's. He just harps on stupid shit.
Yeah. Well, and plus he's a businessman. Mm. So he's going to understand that the best business comes from the most business. Mm. And so he's a populist, you know, like he's into whatever the popular thing is. So if he knows that the country's getting fed up with immigration or a certain contingent of the population's getting fed up with immigration, and it's being stoked by a certain news agency, then he knows that as long as Fox News exists,
there's gonna
always
going to
be
up.
Millions and millions of people that need the immigrants gone. Now, I think immigration is a problem. You know, I think that the Constitution addresses that. It says that we need to have uniform laws of naturalization and that we're supposed to welcome people, but the naturalization is the process of getting these people over here safely and keeping us safe. Mm-hmm. But that
and by naturalization, they're talking about knowing the constitutional laws and
that's
their freedoms.
Yep. Yeah. Learning it well, that's part of the process. And you'd have to be an idiot.
They have to take a test. You have to take a test to come in here.
Yeah. And that's the way in. Now, if it's not fast enough, we can talk about maybe speeding that process up with allowing more people in. But to leave unchecked amounts of people coming in over, that could be akin to being invaded. I mean, if a foreign enemy wanted to come over and just start infiltrating us through that direction, it's possible. So I do think that should be addressed.
Yeah.
But I don't think Trump isn't even addressing it correctly. He's just saying he's turning it into a race thing, really.
Yeah.
You know, and that's absolutely not right.
Yeah, because some of the guys I work with who are Hispanic are like afraid to death that he will become president and just be kicking up their family members like left and right, or people who've lived here forever. And like, think about it realistically. Yep. How could you just
impossible
pick up all it's thousands impossible of people? You know,
you would have to fundamentally change how America works. You would literally have to establish
and nobody's going to be for that.
Yeah, you would have to. I mean, imagine the infrastructure. You would have to have. How many detention centers and systems set up to, I mean, how many tens of millions, you know, and this is just illegal Mexican people. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But if you can get the vote, you know, I think the border should be closed. We should build a wall because it's in the Constitution for the government to provide for the country's common defense. Yeah. And that's part of providing for the common defense. It also in the Constitution says that if the federal government is abdicating their responsibility to do it, it's on the states. So the states should be doing it. Texas and Arizona, these states should be building their own walls.
That being said, though, I mean, I personally don't feel like the government is responsible for my safety. Like, if shit goes down, I'm responsible for protecting my house and my chick, you know.
Ultimately.
I mean, the cops aren't just going to be coming when, say, whatever attack we're under.
Ultimately.
I mean, I'm glad we have a great military complex. I would say probably a little too big for our own britches, but and a little waste of tax dollars as well. But I kind of feel like I'm responsible for my own self here.
For sure. Know? For sure. This is why I appreciate the right to bear arms.
Yeah. Let us take care of ourselves.
Yeah. I'd like us to get away from, because I'm guilty of the same thing, but I'd like us to get away from a let us do this. It's more of a we're going to do this stance, and we're going to spread the news that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights never told us the rights that we are granted. It simply recognized the rights that we inherently have. But it also does say that the state. The purpose of the state is to provide for common defense. It's not saying offense. It's not saying we need to go kick ass across seas. That's offensive. That's an offense. Provide for our common defense. Bring the military home. Strengthen our borders and keep us strong. And let us do our thing. And let's not fuck with other people. And I think that's why you're getting this. Well, that is specifically the Syrian refugee crisis. All these Syrians that are becoming refugees, that is because we have started a civil war in Syria. Our CIA has started the Syrian civil war because we want Bashar al-Assad out. And because we want him, remember back in the day, we tried making up the story that he was gassing his own people. And once the UN inspectors, he invited the UN inspectors in, and once the UN inspectors came in and they investigated it, they said, no, he did not do it. It was a rebel group that did it. Then we weren't allowed to invade. And we said on this podcast that invasion would eventually happen, and it would involve Iran as well, because they have a mutual defense agreement. And we said it's going to happen on this podcast. Now it's happening. We're doing strikes in Syria. We're striking Syria every day. So it's okay for us to be bombing another country now, but we're not even at war with them. No, we're trying to bomb ISIS, you know. Really? Syria didn't ask for us to bomb ISIS. They don't trust us. They asked for Russia to come in and bomb ISIS. So Russia's bombing the shit out of ISIS in Syria. We're over there fucking up a lot of things. And that's what's causing this refugee crisis. So it's so funny that you've got people at home that, you know, the French attacks, or this French shooting, supposedly done by a Syrian Muslim refugee, right, that came over there, that this is causing like a national security conversation to be brought up. Now everybody's saying, yeah, maybe we should be a little more secure. We should have these religious tests to come in here. But the fact of the matter is, we caused this problem in the first place. You know, it's like we're eating, our own shitty soup that we made or something, dude. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Planted like an invasive weed or something in your house or in your garden. Yeah. It's hard to filter through shit and find out what I think is true or what makes more sense. I think it's weird that these attacks happen and then the news already has a picture of a guy, all their ID, everything after they've blown themselves up.
Another
passport. And their passport seems to magically just not be damaged at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I have that kind of brain where I just go, wait, this is bullshit. You know, I don't know why I'm always just going against everything, but like,
well, especially if it's on the tube, and I think that that's healthy because that tube has time and time again been proven false.
And then there's like an email from the ISIS leader or a YouTube video that they send in and say, we're responsible for this, we did that. And I'm going, well, how are they getting this feed from this guy, and how can you not find him, the leader?
Yeah.
Have you seen these? Like, it's just a guy in a ninja suit or whatever.
That is ISIS, whatever ISIS is. That's their MO. They've become like this sideshow group that goes, oh, something bad happens, it's us. Something bad happens, it's us. We're the terrorists. And if you really want them to win, then get rid of your freedoms, because isn't supposedly, if they hate us for our freedoms.
But yeah, so I'm sitting here watching this on the news, and I'm going, well, they got this feed from this guy, or how do they get the news? Where are they sending this information? Where's ISIS coming around? How do they know where to send this video?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they do the homework or whatever. They know where Fox News is located. But then CIA says, well, they use unencryptable data, so we can't follow them. So they have better fucking... Aren't these the guys that fuck goats and shit in the street? And they have better computers than we got? Like...
I don't know. They make it look like that, but I would tend to believe that if they are a multi-billion-dollar industry, that they have like some really savvy systems set up. Now, that's going to be a different show. We're going to do a show called The Origins of ISIS, and that's going to be a good one because we're going to talk about how this group even got started. And
don't they have another name that is like really offensive to them, like the Shield or something? It's a
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember it at the moment. Yeah. But
Daesh.
Daesh, yeah.
And then they also are...
That's like the N-word for ISIS.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's very offensive to their...
Well, they're also called ISIL.
Yeah, ISIL, yeah.
Like the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. And the Levant is that whole... Basically, the Middle East. Mm-hmm. The whole Middle East is called the Levant. So... ISIL would refer to, you know, it's not just Iraq and Syria. It's the Levant is the whole area, including Israel. So that's why the Zionists or the people that really believe that Israel is like needs to be defended, like the Christians in America, mm-hmm. they believe that Israel needs to be defended at all costs because they believe that the Bible is saying that we have to defend the Jewish people in Israel. And that's another show we're going to do. It's called British Israelism / Zionism. Goes into a whole other set of enormous lies. But it's very... it goes into this whole problem. Britain and your major like monarchies are behind... Have been behind the creation of the State of Israel... And in order to establish a homeland for the Jewish people, there's big money in it.
Quick question, real quick. Yeah. Like you were talking about how we kind of created this shit salad or soup, whatever, mm-hmm. and are dealing with it. But like, what part of fundamentalism do you think is a root cause? I mean, this fundamental religion, yeah,
for sure.
or
for sure.
And now they have the opportunities to travel and get us, because like, there were never a.
It's called fundamentalism, but I equate it to lazy Christians. Lazy Christians go to church.
No, I'm talking about like ISIS and.
Oh, okay. Muslims. Well, you have fundamentalist Christian,
yeah.
and you have fundamentalist Muslims, right? This I don't view ISIS as Muslim, and Muslim scholars, like this huge hierarchy of Muslim scholars, came out publicly a couple weeks ago, and they said they had this whole list of why ISIS is not Muslim, and they have tenets of what being truly Muslim is, mm-hmm. and how they're violating it, and you know what I mean, and how and I didn't know this before, but that jihad, we always hear of it as like this crazy, they're going to take over the world kind of thing, right? Oh, they just declared jihad on us.
Yeah.
A jihad is a defensive war. It's fought in response to aggression against them. That's mm-hmm. what jihad is.
And it's defense.
Which I thought was pretty crazy. At least in the Quran, it's a defensive war. So if they are aggressing on their neighbors, mm-hmm. then these Muslim scholars have come out and they've said, you're not Muslim because you're not obeying what the Quran says. The jihad is a defensive war, and you're being offensive right now, doing what you're doing. It really is a tricky situation, especially when you have us going, and we're the one throwing the most bombs over there. You know what I mean? Like, I know they say that they're the worst terror group in the world, but we're the one throwing the most bombs. And I'm not trying to, you know, be unpatriotic. I think just the simple fact that I'm doing a podcast like this and trying to teach Constitution shows that I'm extremely patriotic, more so than your average person, mm-hmm. you know. But
you gotta accept
the truth for what it is.
What would you say, I think the problem is, like, with whatever war we were in since 9/11, is you're not really fighting a army. You're fighting kind of like...
it's a people.
Yeah, but they're not uniformed. You don't know, it's people in the mountains. It's people, you don't know who your enemy is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like guerrilla warfare in a sense.
Sure.
Like, anybody could be your enemy, or they're just...
Well, they
random.
Afghanistan.
If you shoot all Toyotas,
they were being attacked by Russia. Russia, back at the height of the Cold War, they had, one could argue, they had the world's best military. Them or us, you know? I mean, that was why it was a race, right? But they couldn't beat the Afghanistanian people that had CB radios and rifles, you know. They couldn't beat them because the major reason why is drive. Mm. Drive is tends to be the decider in war, and that's why I really think that we're going to win this thing, because a people that wants to be free and is fighting for freedom is different than an invading army that is fighting for a paycheck and fighting for a retirement check, because those people give up pretty damn quick. When shit starts getting tough,
yeah. When you're protecting your land, it means more to you, you know.
And just the concept of freedom, that's another major goal of this podcast, is to establish in people the concept of freedom, what it is, and how human history has tried and failed and tried and failed, and really the establishment of freedom has been the pinnacle of achievement of human history. And for in order for us to try to give that up, it's ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous thing. And 100 million armed Americans fighting for a cause that important, I don't think can fail unless Americans fail it. You know, unless Americans don't believe in it anymore, and it's attacked everywhere. There's a multi-pronged attack on Americans' belief in the Constitution and our system that we have set up. You've got anarchists, you've got socialists, you've got it coming from just about everywhere. But the the flag upon a hill, I really think is a constitutional Republican government that establishes and guarantees its citizens freedom. And I do believe that that's an ideology that could spread and go worldwide. And I think that it would make I think it'd be a world changer. I think it would absolutely be. We have a little bit of evidence of that just in the fact that when America was founded and people were allowed to be free, the Industrial Revolution took off. Mm-hmm. You instantly see massive technology and massive, everything just started going boom, just crazy. You could expect that to continue under freedom, but under tyranny, you always get dark ages,
you're not motivated and there's no future for you,
or the state is just so big and powerful that you just cannot do anything. We would not be able to have this podcast. We wouldn't even able to have this discussion.
You'd be a threat.
Yeah. Did that answer your question? Okay. Sorry. I get a little wordy, especially when we haven't done a podcast in a while. I'm like, damn.
Well, and I cut you off. You were going to do a break, but I just want, we always leave on one thing. I didn't want to come back after a song and jump in on something. And
it's all good, man. We are chilling. Let's take a little break, a little song, and we'll be back. We'll talk about how our system is set up. Is it a democracy or is it a republic?
Are we singing?
Take everything left from me. All to blame. How can we still succeed taking what we don't need? Selling lies, alibis, selling all the hate that we breathe. We've gone too far, brought to shame. We're trying so hard, we're dying in vain. We're hopelessly blissful and blind to all we are. We want it all with no sacrifice. Realize we spend our lives living in a culture of fear. To salute, say thanks to the men of the year. How did we all come to this? What's just a fucking scream that we just can't resist? And we're all to blame. We've gone too far, brought to shame. We're trying so dying in vain. We're hopelessly blissful and blind to all we are. We want it all. Everyone wants it all with no sacrifice. We'll be right back.
far from pride to shame. We're trying so hard, we're dying in vain. We want it all, everyone, don't we all?
Dude, that song's the shit, Nick. Thanks for suggesting that.
I don't know, it just felt like a good vibe. Not a good vibe, but, you know.
Apropos.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. It's a... I agree. I like it. I dig it. I remember that from back in the day, but that was before I ever started studying this stuff, and I never really kind of put... like, made sense. I put some of the pieces together, and it makes more sense now, I think.
Cool, man. Yeah, I mean, I like the way it starts, just the guitars in it. And I don't know what happened with that band. I don't know if they still play or not, but...
I don't know. They got popular for a little bit, and then...
yeah,
kind of stopped. I always wonder if that's a band's decision to stop. Like, they get popular for a little bit and they go, oh, okay, this is more of a headache than I thought it'd be. I thought being a rock star would be heaven on earth.
I think so. I think in some instances they have families and they just move on, and
maybe they just go, all right, I'm done. That's a like lot, I mean, lot Blink of alcohol, 182, a lot of drugs.
Could Blink 182 survive forever? Like, you know, no one's going to go watch 40, 50-year-old guys sitting there talking about, I hope she holds my hand, or whatever the fuck it was. Not that I didn't like Blink-182. They had some it's good like songs and everything, 80. But it's like, that shit is not going to last forever. You're not going to be the next Rolling Stones guys.
Yeah.
But they all did their own thing, and, you know, good for them.
And then even if they're that old and have a music video, is it like a 20-year-old that they're falling in love with holding hands, or is it like an 80-year-old that they're falling with holding hands?
Yeah.
Because if so, I mean... who are you trying to appeal to at that age?
And you're prank calling your this girl's mom after a date or whatever.
I still think Aerosmith can rock it, you know, but they're getting kind of, you know.
Yeah, he's falling off the stage and shit.
To be doing like the leather pants and the whole like.
Yeah, you need some Dockers and some tan shoes that you strap on.
At that age, like.
What are you doing? Like,
aren't you supposed to like be like growing as a person? Like, I don't know. Whatever.
But, I mean, if you're an Aerosmith fan, that's what you go to go see, I guess.
You just don't want them to change.
Yeah, it's timeless, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how they do it. Like, I feel like a weirdo in these shorts right now. These stupid bike shorts.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
They're essentially board shorts with a diaper inside.
They look fine. They look like board shorts.
But walking around, I feel like I've just dropped a deuce, and I'm walking around with a deuce in there.
Really?
Which I haven't done since I was, like, you know.
They make biking far more comfortable.
Yeah. I just recently got a bike, and so I rode it to the studio, you know, because it's nice out, and I'm trying to practice for this bike ride with my brother, and so the guy at the store was like, when I tested the bike out, I'm going, dude, I need a new seat, man, that's hurting my ass. He goes, no, you just need to get the shorts with the thing, and I'm not wearing spandex, if that's what you guys think. I'm not. I wouldn't do that.
No.
But I thought, okay, they look like normal shorts, no big deal. They look like board shorts, but they literally have... ass pad in there, and it's like flops around when I'm walking, and it's just
like a diaper.
Yeah, it's like a diaper, dude. I feel like future Steven Tyler out there. He's probably gonna have to wear diapers on stage, and
I'm sure he is already,
you know? Possibly. Yeah.
Now do regular biker shorts, like those tight small biker shorts, have that same like padding system in them? I don't ride bikes, so
I don't know. This I'm new to this too, you know. Because I wouldn't wear the spandex ones. No way.
Yeah.
I think they probably do.
That's when I always think like a biker goes like douchebag. Like when they go full biker, they go, all right, I'm getting into this. Boom. And they come out with one of those. You go, oh, you went full biker.
Yeah, spike.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not going to go that far. It's just, to be honest with you, I was thinking about it right now. Because I haven't had a chance to get out and ride the bike and get used to it. And, you know, they make a big deal about it when you buy a bike, and he's like, you got to get a helmet, dude. You better wear a helmet. I'm going, I'm 34 years old, dude. He said, if a fucking car hits me, that helmet ain't going to do shit. I'll be dead with a helmet on, looking like a dork, right?
Yeah, but you won't damage the car as much.
Oh, okay. And the kid goes, nah, bro. You know, he's like one of these hardcore biker dudes. He's like, some of the best dudes I've known gone down, bro. Died that way. But hey, it's cool they died on their bikes.
No way.
Yeah, and I'm going... But I did buy the helmet because
cool,
I...
Cool, they died. That's... God.
Because they died doing what they love, but... Then,
their bikes. Really?
And whatever. Hey, man. Each his own. Do their thing. And so I did buy a helmet because he offered me like a discount for buying the bike there and this and that. And but I tried to put it on my way over here, and I'm going, oh my gosh, it's like digging in my neck. I said, I'm going to have to get used to that thing too, you know, so...
Are you worried about getting a ticket or something?
without...
Fuck no. Fuck any... dude, like I said, I'm 34 years old, bro. Any cop that's going to give a grown-ass man a fucking ticket for not wearing a helmet? Fuck you, dude.
But it happens.
You hero. You fucking hero.
I know, it sucks.
I can't wait to have that conversation with that fucking hero.
Please record it.
But
I would love to see it.
But so, he did talk me into buying a helmet because he goes, well, dude, he goes, what routes are you going to... And I was like, well, there's these roads out here that I want to take. And he goes, okay, the road you just mentioned... He goes, dude, I go 60 miles an hour on that road down because it's downhill, you know? And he goes, and there's potholes, dude. And, he goes, and you're not that familiar with it. And he goes, you will endo. He goes, everyone I've known has fucking eaten shit big time. And I go, okay, well, fuck, I'll get a bike. I'll get a helmet or whatever.
Okay.
But just coming over to your house, it's like a 6 mile ride uphill to your house. So on my way home, I'll be going a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't gotten the shifting down and all that.
Yeah.
So, but nobody thinks I'm going to be able to do this ride.
Why
it's a,
not?
It's a 100-mile ride.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, but that's what I'm warming up for. That's why I rode over your house today, dude.
There you go.
But,
yeah, you just got to...
I feel good.
What are you doing to train for it? Kind of riding everywhere?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to be every
miles.
Weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, but that one's it's pretty flat, I guess.
How long do you expect that to take?
Well, I'm trying to get it down to 6 hours.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like you're going to be at a grueling pace. You're not going to be racing.
Yeah, no.
You're
not that Tim Armstrong, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even this one, you know, riding to your house, 6 miles, my balls are numb. And so it's going to take a lot of getting used to.
Yeah.
And the bike I'm riding over there isn't this bike that I bought. I'm going to have to rent a bike.
Fitness.
Exactly. I'm going to have to work out the balls, dude.
The balls are just going to have
to... But I will say, like, it was a little... you know how people... meditate.
Yes.
It was kind of like that for me. Just focusing on my breathing. Like, I was totally clear-headed when I got here.
Yeah.
Even, you know, it's a small ride, 6 miles or whatever.
Yeah.
And I passed your street a couple times. Things look totally different when you're on a bike.
Do you have, like, a fitness, like, a training plan of how you're going to work up to 6 hours?
Yeah, I'm going to try to...
Might want to talk to AJ.
Yeah, maybe I will.
I know some people that do that kind of stuff. If you want to know, like, I know people that I know quite a few people that
okay.
do like bike, like triathlons and that kind of stuff. So,
well, I figure if I could go up a few hills and get my timing down and get worked out, work riding flat will be easy.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know what it is? It's harder. It's not the pedaling and the riding. It's the sitting on your ass
that
and getting numb nuts, dude.
That would kill me.
That's the hardest part. Yeah. And then being comfortable on the bike.
Yeah.
You know? But other than that, it's fun. Help.
Music or a podcast or audiobook. Dude, you could get through some
absolutely
good amount of like literature.
That's what I'm going to do. There's no way I could do it without it.
Yeah.
Because I was on my way over here. I got on the bike and then went, fuck, I forgot my headphones. So then I had to go back into the house.
Like, that audiobook I sent you is probably around 6 hours, you know?
Perfect.
But what would be cool is you got to train. Dude, you could probably go through massive amounts of like learning.
Yeah.
On that something like that.
I think I will.
Oh, just for the people at home, that book, the audiobook, excellent audiobook. I posted it to the Twitter and the Facebook. It's called Manipulism, Exposing Collectivism and the Weapon of Guilt, and it's awesome because it goes right in line with what we've been saying on this podcast. That socialism causes narcissism. And you know how this is the quest to end douchebaggery? Well, that's why we're fighting socialism. So, it starts to make a little more sense.
Does it drive you nuts? Like, Bernie Sanders is like on every show and they just love his ass. It's like the popular...
Does it drive me nuts? No. I expect it.
Yeah.
The media's taken over. And we have to accept that they are going to push. They have it's called a Hegelian dialectic, but they can if the country is getting too sick of neocons and war and growing the government through that side, then they push the other side and they'll push welfare and socialism. And then when people get too sick of that because that oppresses them, they'll go on to the other side and push neoconism and war. That's what the whole right-left paradigm is about, is that it gives people distractions and this fake battle that's going on. And I think the country's ready right now for somebody like Bernie Sanders, who says he's an outright socialist, because they're sick of the wars. You know, but and they think that's their only alternative. Mm-hmm. And it's not true. You could follow the Constitution, you'd have none of it. You know, but yeah, it concerns me. It concerns me that people are that gullible. But what can you do other than, you know, try to do something like we're doing, you know, and try to help?
Yeah.
Other than that, what do you do? I mean, make Facebook comments, be a troll or something. You know, there's you can't do a whole lot else. This is an educational game right now.
We should troll Bernie Sanders, dude.
Not bad. I troll Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, is he still around?
Oh, he's around. And he was one of the top earners last year. He made like $98 million.
Well, dude, he loves America. He cries.
He prays with his kids at night.
He cries.
That dude is the biggest freaking fake. God.
I mean, Zionist, he was too bad for fucking Fox News.
And we talked about Zionism.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's like, he'll be like pretending to cry with my kids. And he'll be like, pray for Israel. Oh, pray for Israel. You know what I mean? Because we'll get into stuff like that on the show. But it's called Zionism, if you guys want to get a head start on the research. Okay, let's get into this.
Yes.
Do you agree that it sounds like democracy is synonymous with freedom nowadays? Right?
That's what we've been taught and growing up. And
like, we are spreading democracy throughout the world. We are spreading democracy.
If you don't vote, you don't have an opinion. You can't say anything.
Everybody should vote. Bernie Sanders says everybody.
California wants to make it
mandated to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it's mandated to vote doesn't mean it's a non-oppressive system. That's called democracy. So we're
the dumbest people to fucking vote.
Yes. So here's what the Constitution says. Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Okay? So, what is democracy? Well, let's go into the actual word of what democracy is. We're going to break the words down. If you guys really want to learn a subject deep, break the words down into their parts and look up an online etymology dictionary. When you do a word's etymology, it defines the word for you, truly defines the word for you. So democracy, the prefix demo is derived from the Greek root demos, meaning people. For example, the word demographic relates to the written study of the structure of populations, right? The suffix of democracy is ocracy, also crazy in nouns, and that comes from the Greek word kratos, and it denotes a government by a particular sort of people or according to a particular principle, meaning force or power. So the Greek word demokratia combines the elements demos, which means people, and kratos, which means power. Simply put, demokratia means power of the people, or its variant, rule by the majority. Does that make sense? So we've defined the word based off of its actual, the etymology of the word. And that's going to play in. So it's based off of a popular vote. And it always sounds like that's a good idea. Like, hey, we'll just vote on it. Well, okay. Well, let's just vote. Hey, should we vote for a wall over there? Or should we have a wall over there? Well, let's vote on it. 52% of the people said yes. 48% of the people said no. So we're getting a wall over there. Okay. Sorry, 48%. You guys are asked out. How about this? What if we voted on Should we all vote that that we should all have mandatory vaccinations? Okay. 52% of the people said yes. 48% of the people said no. So, sorry, 48%, but the 52% win. Majority rules, and everybody needs vaccinations now. Do you see where it starts to become a problem and it can become tyrannical? It's called rule by the majority. And it's based off of popular vote. It commits a logical fallacy, and that is the appeal to popularity fallacy. That just because something is popular does not necessarily mean it's right, and it does not necessarily mean that it's true.
Unless it's a mullet. I mean, bring the mullet. We should bring the mullets back.
But that's like a whole different set of like metaphysical rules involved in the mullet and like sacred geometry.
Mm-hmm. At least bell bottoms. Let's do bell bottoms. That was a great idea.
So if we understand that the majority is not always correct, and we know that because there's been whole cultures that have gone into absolute collapse, whole cultures that have gone into cannibalism. There's whole cultures that have just
cannibalism.
Sank. Cannibalism. There's whole cultures that have just sank because their if ultimately a culture is going to sink if its philosophy is wrong. It just is. It can't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to go through multiple changes and chaos and so I want
which
to
which we kind of are in a way. I feel like shit's kind of chaotic
for sure. And this will describe a huge part of why it's chaotic. This is going to really bring that to light. So, what did our founding fathers say about democracies? Well, here's Ben Franklin. Hence it is that democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and in general have been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. A republic, by which I mean a government in which a scheme of representation takes place, opens a different prospect and promises the cure for which we are seeking. Sorry, that was James Madison. That was in Federalist Paper number 10. Ben Franklin said, democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. Thomas Jefferson said, a democracy is nothing more than mob rule, where 51% of the people take away the rights of the other 49. John Adams said, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. That was John Adams. Henry David Thoreau said, but government in which the majority rule in all cases cannot be based on prejudice, even as far as men understand it. And like to read you a little quote.
I like the term majority rule as it pertains to a government for the people.
Sure. For the people. I get that.
Yeah. I think
but not
if the majority of us
people, not all rights are held by, there's a difference between the people,
mm-hmm.
which is everybody, and the person, which is the individual. The individual should hold all the rights, not the people.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes there's like a little bit of wordplay, but you've got to understand what you want and why. There's a major difference between how power held with the people or how power held with the individual. I'm a staunch individualist.
And then not only that, but like say when you're talking about two party systems or whatever, if you're getting a large group of people who want to vote in a certain direction, like say it's 50-50, isn't that how one would divide and conquer, or one party would want to use the opposite of what we would be voting for? Say to use your example, the wall.
Yeah.
And then that's could create essentially enemies, like, well, those people who want the wall are a bunch of dicks, and
Yeah.
Is that a good way to use a divide and conquer through a democracy? Like, if the politicians were
dirty
enough?
I think that, well, I hope this answers it, but there's also, we have to understand that our republic has democracy in it. If you're considering democracy in the form of a verb, democracy being where we get to vote. But a democracy, as in like used as a noun, is a tyrannical system of government set up where the majority rules. Okay, but democracy as like a would that be a verb or an adverb? It describes being able to vote. So like even in our republic, we get to vote for the president. We get to vote for the House of Representatives. So there are components of democracy built into our republic. But the republic is not a democracy. Does that help?
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that is true. That is true. So people do need to make that distinction that in a republic that has representative government, there has to be forms of democracy in it, but the whole thing's not democracy, where it's majority rule everywhere.
Exactly. Gotcha.
Okay. So this is Fraser Tyler said, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can exist only until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the results that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. Always followed by a dictatorship. I think that's important that we recognize that. These guys that were avid students of history, no, they knew that every single democracy always falls into dictatorship. And the steps that it does is that the people start, the majority votes themselves more, and they vote themselves more, and they vote themselves more. They vote themselves more and more and more and more until the system collapses. And that part where it collapses is usually the people that are being taken advantage of. They get poor because they get taken of so much, and the middle class collapses.
Overtaxed and whatnot, yeah.
But also they give up. They can't support everybody else after a while. They just give up. They're done. The thing collapses usually into anarchy, and as a response to the anarchy, a dictatorship comes in. Sometimes the military coups come in at that point, but always followed by a dictatorship. Historically. So if we don't change, we know what to expect. Now, I also like this quote because it kind of shows that how a democracy can work. And if you have the power of the media, you really have the power to influence a democracy. He says, propaganda is to a democracy what the bludgeon is to a dictatorship. And that's Noam Chomsky. But if I can convince 51% of the people or propagandize them to believe a certain thing, then it's basically the same thing as a bludgeon is to a dictatorship, like forcing them. Mm-hmm. It's my tool of coercion, right? And then I also want to talk about in ancient Greece, there was something called ostracization. And they could actually, in ancient Greece, the reason it collapsed, and our founding fathers go into this, the reason it collapsed was because it was a democracy. And there was even something called ostracization in Greece, ancient Greece, prior to the Romans, where they would vote by popular vote people that they wanted to vote out of the community. And usually it was popular, you know, it was a popular figure, or else most people wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But it was, they would vote, and if 51% of the people wanted this person ejected out of their society, boom, gone. So This type of society has existed in the past.
Yeah, it's not so bad. You get less people farting in elevators, less rude people at Costco.
Well, check this out. So who? Ron Paul. Ron Paul, extremely unpopular guy. Mm. He's challenging the status quo. Maybe a guy like that could get 51% of people to vote him out. He might get a lot more than that to vote him out. Just people think he's a kook, vote him out, gone. Did nothing wrong, probably was on the right side of history, and yet, you know, this is where society can get insane sometimes. You know?
Ruin itself.
Yeah. So, when you get into what a republic is, that was what a democracy is. Any questions on that?
I mean, as we are today, you know, I think that's what, you know, we were mentioning immigration earlier. I think that's what motivates people to immigrate to America, because they feel like they have a say and their voice can be heard more.
Now, a lot of people can't even vote, right? They don't even have, they have systems of, they have dictatorships or they have monarchies or, even in some a lot of monarchies, you can vote, and it's like suggestions to the monarch. But a lot of dictatorships, you can't even vote. Doesn't matter. Mm. Whatever the decree is of the ruler. So, I get that. That at least they have a vote. But it doesn't matter because those systems... It doesn't ultimately matter because those systems always decay back into dictatorship. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk... did that answer that?
Yeah, it's cool.
Anything... You got any other... Because if I don't know this well enough, I should be able to explain this because I've been studying the shit out of it. So, do you got any other questions about it?
No, like... Because like you were saying, it's not like you're against voting. Like, voting for our presidents, voting for elected officials and stuff like that.
Not at all.
A small bit of democracy. I just think of...
Or democratic processes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
Absolutely. When we're not brainwashed. Because, like, you know, there's times when you wouldn't want certain people voting.
Well, and that's why the First Amendment was so important, is because an open media is, like, people being well-informed is key to a system working, functioning properly, you know, especially if the system is based on what the people want.
And like we talked about it before the show, is it wouldn't work in a mental institution. You wouldn't just say, hey, let's vote on what y'all want to do here.
Yeah.
And but if we were stuck in an island, like, well, should we climb the mountain or should we head east or what? Yeah. And, you know, our plane went down. We would say, who all wants to go this way? I don't know if it'd work that way either. Like, for in a survival situation, now, but
democracy, let's say that, say a plane crashed, democracy would be 51% of us want to go this way. We're all going this way. A republic would tend more towards than the 51 of us are going this way and the 49 of you that
you
want to go that way.
You want or you're not.
You can go that way.
Yeah.
There's a difference, but this is why I've adopted now a live and let live kind of philosophy. I do what I do. I don't control others as long as you're not hurting the person or property of anybody else. These philosophies start to take on deeper meanings the further and further we dive into like the history, you know?
Yeah.
I think that we should talk about what a republic is when we come back.
Sounds good.
Sound good?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. We'll be right back.
good shit, man. They're talking about the frustrations of the middle class. If you are one of our listeners that belongs to the middle class, and I'm guessing all of our listeners belong in the middle class.
Oh no, Donald Trump is listening right now. He's a huge fan.
You are starting to feel the weight on you, and you're going to feel it intensify for as long as nothing gets fundamentally changed. But for as long as we keep watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or any of this bullshit, and they keep giving us these little preschool answers, we'll never change anything. This is a fundamental problem with our system that needs to be addressed. You'll never hear a politician talk about this.
All you get is talking points.
All you get is the bullshit. You get like it's like I'm in the it's like I'm in a playground. Like I'm in a sandbox. They treat me like a kid when they talk to me on the TV. We're smart enough to handle these problems, but we got to get educated, people. We got to get into this shit.
I think like as it pertains to the middle class. I mean, of course, we all strive to be more, have more, you know, or live better. But it seems like the middle class is the happiest. In my mind, it's like all most people want is just to be able to feed their family, have some land or whatever.
That's all I want.
A house and just live comfortably.
There becomes at a certain level of wealth, it gets into the pathological realm where you end up just wanting wealth because it equals power. Mm-hmm. And once you start wanting power, then you start getting into a whole different incentive system. You start wanting power because you want. Usually you want power over others, and that's not a good incentive system because that means you become the enemy in this game of freedom, or at least in the libertarian philosophy, you become a douchebag, or you become a somebody who coerces others for your needs. But what tends to happen if you kind of dive into it, studying it, is that those people that want more and more power, they tend to deep inside of them, they tend to be the most afraid.
Yeah.
And they're fearing losing more and more. So I think you're right. There is a balance point.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to have wealth and be rich and not have any stress or anything.
But that's because you don't want anything else to worry about.
Yeah.
Not because you want power.
But I don't know like how much money I could spend and be happy. Just like, you know, the house I got is a small, medium house. It's a pain in the ass. I'm constantly working on it. Like, I think it's seeing things as like, oh, a mansion. God, that'd be so much fucking work. I'd be constantly. But I mean, I know I wouldn't be personally working on it as much, but yeah. I enjoy working on my house or on my truck or whatever, you know.
But doesn't the constant work keep you balanced? Keeps you exercised? Keeps you balanced? Keeps you out in the sun? Keeps you learning new things all the time? Like, we're supposed to be constantly working. I agree. There's something inside of me that wants like ultimate rest, you know, and just wants rest. But then I realized too that if I got ultimate rest, that's not the answer either.
Well, I'm sure you have days where you just bum out, you know. I do, where I just, man, there'll be days where I'm just,
for sure. But if that was everyday USA, it'd be bad. It'd be problematic.
Horrible. Absolutely.
But once in a while, it's, you know, I choose to do that at least once a week. at least once a week, just veg.
Yeah.
And now sometimes, even now though, my vegging now has become even dorky to where I'm like, all right, I'll veg, and I'll do veg for 20 minutes, and I'll be like, I feel like studying some. You know?
Well, but that's what you're into. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, even our veg days, like, say if it's a Sunday and there's football games on or whatever, there's still stuff I'm doing around the house, just, like, little tinkering, but not stress. I don't stress out, you know, stress myself out or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't want to live in America without the middle class. I mean, we've talked about it in
middle
previous.
Class drives America.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, it's the proletariat and the bourgeoisie.
You got no middle class? Yeah. You don't have America.
No.
Yeah. It's gone. That the middle class is who starts the businesses. You know, there's not supposed to be a shitload of federal employees. You should be able to almost count the amount of federal employees on a few dozen people's hands. Like there shouldn't be that many. The government should be extremely small. The major part of a government should be in defense, law enforcement, and that's constitutional law enforcement, not what we have now. Mm-hmm. And the big one is the court systems, because what you're going to have in a free market system, you're going to always have, just like we do now, you're going to have a lot of equity cases come up. You're going to have a lot of people trying to sue each other because their contracts were, somebody reneged on a contract, or, you know, somebody did this. And in a free society, that's always going to happen. So, you have to, a part of government's function has to be to establish a court system that is a fair system to be able to try these people, to be able to go, all right, what's fair or not? This is called an equity court. And, all right, this is a contract. Okay, I have the contract. Now, based on the contract that you guys signed, this is what I decide. You reneged on the contract. Or the contract was not clear enough. This person does not owe you anything. But that's an equity court. It's a contract court. That's what the government should be involved in. Defense, laws, and both of those are only about keeping the citizens safe. Not that it's their job completely, but there are other countries that would want to come in and invade a free country, because freedom is the small guy on the block that is the it's a small guy on the block that has all the right answers. So it's always going to be bullied by all the other guys, and that's what's happening right now. So you need protection of the citizens and courts. That's the whole reason for government.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I can get fucking off on some tangents sometime. I'm so sorry if that's annoying.
No, that was
I bet
good.
It's annoying,
it's
dude.
It's good. It's you know.
Just the more I study, the more I'm like, I've got like very like. There's some of these points become very important, and I don't want somebody that likes the podcast to ever go without getting like a good amount of knowledge, you know.
When do we ever or not deviate?
True.
Yeah.
All right. But if I never analyzed myself, I wouldn't be improving
exactly.
either.
Exactly.
You know? All right, let's get into what a republic is. In stark contrast, a republic. Now we're going to go first into the etymology of the word, because I think that's how you got to start with all these.
Break it down.
Etymology. In stark contrast, a republic, Latin res publica, meaning a public affair or a commonwealth, is a government in which power resides in elected individuals representing the citizen body and government leaders who exercise power according to the rule of law. Sorry, excuse me. This is where it gets very confusing. And if you guys try to do your own research at home, to try to get a good definition of what a republic is really, really tough. Because there's big money out there that does not want you to know what a republic is. So we're going to try to clear up that issue right now. what it essentially is it's a representative government. This gets a little complicated, so stay with me. We elect representatives. We elect a president. No. We elect electors, which elect a president. They become our representatives to elect a president. That's part of how the Electoral College works. We elect the politicians in our state, right?
Mm-hmm.
We elect, and then we elect our congressmen, right? So we elect these different factions, but these different factions are going to represent different power structures, and each one, because always remember, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. So the state of California wants to grow into the biggest tyrannical thing ever. The United States wants to grow into the biggest tyrannical thing ever. If I got too cocky and I became a sports star, I'd want to grow into the biggest tyrannical thing ever. That's just the way human nature works. So understanding that, you have to set up a system in which these factions all battle with each other. So that's why the system, when we say that it was a system set up with checks and balances, we understand it as we have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branch that are all battling with each other. But that really isn't the whole truth. The real checks and balances lies in the fact that you have a federal government, which represents the country. You've got state governments, which represent the states. And then you've got the individual, or you got county government, you got county governments, and then you got individuals. Each one is representing their own interests, their own hierarchies. Mm-hmm. And these all have to battle it out. And we elect representatives to lead each one. When you do it like that, each one battles with each other and they balance each other out, because you're not going to have 50, if California wants to become this tyrannical state, you're not going to have all 50 states all agree to the same thing and then agree with the federal government. Each one is going to be selfish. Okay? It's a kind of a complicated concept, but I think that should help us understand.
Because what works for somebody in Oregon doesn't work for somebody in Minnesota. Or,
yep.
That's why you always say, you know, you can vote with your feet, you know, if you don't like it here.
Yep.
You know.
And that becomes so important in a representative government, which is what a republic is. Representatives represent differing factions which check each other's power. Okay? So this adheres to the rule of law and honors the liberty of the 1% over the will of the 99, over the 99%. If it was just a simple democracy and we just voted for everything we wanted as a whole country, then it'd be simple democracy.
Mm.
Okay? But we vote for all these groups. We vote for the state goes to battle with this, and all these things fight all the time. That's how it's supposed to be. That's checks and balances. Now, we're going to find out that the federal government wanted to stop that process.
Yeah.
Because it was too tough to make laws. It's supposed to be tough to make laws. It's supposed to be a bitch. It's supposed to be this battle.
I'm for if you want to make a new law, you have to get rid of an old law.
Like, we need a bunch of new laws, right?
I think we're working out okay.
Well,
they want to flip out on people who want to vape.
As long as you're not hurting anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have some courtesy and don't do it around.
Yeah, don't do it inside. You know, just like a cigarette or whatever. But
and if you could prove that it's hurting other people, you know, then they could be held liable.
They can't even prove that it's hurting the person vaping. Not that I'm for vaping or anything. It's just,
If I was a private business, I would have them in different areas. That's how I would run my private business. I would say, if you vape, you smoke, whatever, this is your area. Totally fine. You're allowed to do it. This is the other area.
Yeah.
Because it's my business and that's what I want to do. You know what I mean?
I mean, you're talking about like the laws and stuff that we come up with. Like in California, it just seems like they just want to regulate more and more and more.
And it's none of their business.
But look what it's doing, though. It's killing the industry around here. Everyone's moving out.
But if you allowed those decisions to be made privately on a private business, it'd still be fine. You know, are you going to go to Caro's if Caro's just has thick smoke everywhere? No, you just won't go there.
No.
You go somewhere else.
But if you were a smoker, you'd love that shit. And that's on the owner of Caro's.
Yep. Good. Dude, you probably make a bank if you owned a business that it's called Smoker's Smokies. Alley or something, yeah. You know?
Smoking a steak. And smoking a pancake.
That's the beauty of this thing is that it's individualism. It's that everybody gets to do their own thing.
And now, I don't believe that if I open a bar that was like smoker-friendly, smoke wherever you want, in California, it probably wouldn't do good.
You never know, man.
I think you'd have a lot of older customers, you know, that were used to that from back in the day, but you wouldn't have a younger.
You know what would decide? Coming. The free market.
Exactly.
The free
Which
market.
Which I love.
Would decide.
I love that.
Yep.
But I'm not against, like, if I open a restaurant, I would have a smoking section on the, you know, out back, whatever. But
so would I.
Because I would want as many customers as I could to come in.
Yeah.
But I don't have nothing against somebody who wanted a smoker you want wherever you eat.
Yeah. You know, I'd probably, if it was a bar that I owned, I'd probably say, you know, check your guns in at the door. We don't allow any guns in here. Sorry. But we've got a really good system of holding guns and coats. So, you know, but that's just because there's alcohol on board and people get in fights. And as a business owner, I want my patrons to feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how it was back in the day, you know. And, you know, that's another propaganda piece that Hollywood does is they make everybody think that it was just shootouts in the streets all the fucking time. Right?
Oh, the old Wild West.
Oh, the Wild West was horrible. Dude, that's it's propaganda.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be fun to watch a movie where you don't have
Hollywood has been owned by socialists from its inception. From its inception, Hollywood has been owned by socialists. That's the purpose of Hollywood. Do you know what Hollywood means?
Well, short for Hollywood land.
The wood of the holly tree. Yeah. The magicians in like druidic cultures. The magicians always had wood from a holly tree because they always thought it was magical.
Mm-hmm.
So it has occult meanings behind like ever since Hollywood was, and they've had to clean out Hollywood a few times because it was just full of communist sympathizers, full of it. Myron Fagan was one of
But what about McCarthyism when they were just like going down all over people, like certain words were. Which is happening kind of now.
You know what I think? I think McCarthy was probably most of who he went after was probably right. He was probably right. Our government was infiltrated back then by communists. I think it's infiltrated right now by communists. I really do. I think McCarthy was probably right. I think at some point he got a little bit too opportunistic.
Yeah, like it breached on the freedom of speech.
Yeah,
if communist you guys or not, know, you should be able to speak your mind in America.
You should be able to say whatever. You should still be allowed to be a communist.
Yeah, if you want to be. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But we should also, as media, be able to tell the public that dude's a fucking communist and he's lying to your ass right now.
Mm.
You know, because people are voting for some of these people not knowing what their real intentions are. So it's like this weird balance, you know. But yeah, technically, like that's why I've always said Bernie Sanders not doing anything illegal. He's saying I'm a socialist.
Not going to vote for him. But yeah,
you know, he's not doing anything. He's not hurting anybody else. Is it subversion? Fuck, man. I mean, if he plans on getting around the Constitution without amending it properly, it's against the law. You know, but what do you do? You know, all you can do is what you can do. He hasn't hurt anybody else yet.
Yeah, I just fear the damage that the damage that's been done with these last two presidents.
But if we expect other people to obey the law, we got to obey it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of because that's one tough thing is like you always want to suppress the people that you think are in the wrong. And being believers in freedom, you can't do that if they're not, you know, hurting somebody else.
But that being said, people like the Bush family, they scare me too. You know, we're on our third Bush now that wants to be president. Like, who do these people fucking think they are? Like, Papa Bush tried to push Christianity like a motherfucker and say, hey, that's not what America is, you guys. You have a freedom of religion. You don't get to pick your fucking laws that you want to push
because Fox News.
Yeah, and Fox News as well. It's disgusting.
But that's their purpose. That's Fox News' purpose. There's a group that is arranging a major war, and Fox News is their arm that teaches these guys to hate these guys. Mm-hmm. And they always win. These guys always win. And they're shoving them together and causing a conflict. That's what's really happening. And if we can identify it, then it at least keeps some of the hatred away from me, because then I don't go, you guys are so fucking... They are fucking stupid. By this point, if you can't see that something else is going on, you must have the absolute blinders on. But regardless of that, you haven't hurt anybody else. So I view it as my job to try to help you understand correctly, you know?
Or do our part to try to understand or make sense of what we can.
Yeah. So as far as a republic goes, the way that that balance of power gets split, or in the Constitution how it got split, is that most people don't really understand that Congress is two different houses. There's the House of Representatives, and there's the Senate. There's two houses in Congress. So you'll see the Capitol building. It's got two wings. One wing is the House of Representatives. The other wing is the Senate. So we've got, it's called a bicameral Congress. Bicameral, two sides to our Congress. Congress is the House of Representatives and the Senate. Okay, so the House of Representatives is elected by majority rules. Okay, it's elected by the majority, and it's based on popular vote. When it's based on popular vote, it makes sense that it's always beholden to the will of the people. It is a democracy. The House of Representatives represents democracy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's 435 of them, and each person in the House represents about 700,000 people. Okay, and they redraw the district sometimes, but that's what it is. Now, the way the Senate was originally set up, the Senate was set up to, it was another half hour. Should I get in? This is where it starts getting really crazy. Should I take a break and get into this?
No, we're rolling, dude. Let's roll.
All right, we're rolling.
Unless you got to take a piss or whatever.
Now we're good. The Senate, now the Senate is the other house, part of Congress. This is supposed to be elected by the state legislatures. And because of that, it's beholden to the will of the state. So there's two representatives from each state. When you have the will of the state against the will of the people, it takes a while to pass laws, okay? That makes up the legislative, those two make up the legislative branch of our government. Okay. So, and then you have the executive branch, which always is only in the interests of the federal government. Have I explained that fairly well?
Yes.
You think? Okay. No questions on that? Okay. So Machiavelli, we've all heard of this character, Machiavelli. He was a Renaissance thinker. He was never, from what I've looked into, he was never a politician. He was always just a political thinker and poet and screenwriter and
like that a kind philosopher?
Of stuff. Yeah, like a philosopher. Okay. But his some of his stuff was just very powerful. He believed that you could assume power through tyrannical means in order to gain power and then give Republican power to the people. So a lot of Republicans are even fans of him, even though he's considered a tyrant because he's got a really kind of weird, different philosophy. Some people call him an actual true Republican. I don't know. But this is a quote from a report done on him that I thought was awesome, and it's out of it. It says, Machiavelli shares with Aristotle the view that governments take the forms of monarchy, aristocracy, and democracy, alongside the reciprocal forms of tyranny, oligarchy, and anarchy. Machiavelli, however, argues that all the forms of government mentioned above are defective because of the brief duration of the three good ones and the evil nature of the three bad ones.
Do you fear that we've become an oligarchy? He with the most money rules, in a way, or who could be bought?
I think that we have just about all three going on. And what he is saying, what Machiavelli is saying, is that monarchy is ruled by one. Aristocracy is ruled by a few. Democracy is ruled by the majority. And he is saying that as those exist, there's their evil counterparts, and that monarchy's evil counterpart is tyranny, and that aristocracy's evil counterpart is oligarchy, and that democracy's evil counterpart is anarchy. And I believe all three are going on right now. That's why I wanted that quote, because it was just so freaking... It was really enlightening to me. So prior to the Constitution, a federal body was one where the states effectively formed nothing more than permanent treaties, with citizens retaining their loyalty to their original state. Their state was a country. Virginia was a country. New York was a country, right? However, under the Constitution, the states were subordinated into a central government. The election of senators by the states reassured the anti-federalists that there would be some protection against the swallowing up of states and their powers by the federal government, providing a check on the power of the federal government. That should temper the populism of the House. The House is populism. That's where popular majority rules in the House. So it gets complicated, but I'm trying to describe why the Senate is elected by the state legislatures, because they then can vote for what's in the interest of the state. Mm-hmm. So you've got the interests of the people, the interests of the state, and then the executive branch that's going for the interests of the federal. And all these things are supposed to go to war with each other.
But essentially every state is small democracies.
Yep. And it has its own interests. And its own interests are going to battle that of the federal government, because the federal government's going to want to swallow up the states. And the states are going to go, fuck you, we've got our own interests.
Yeah, like Oregon, there's no state tax, and it's, you know, and it seems to do great.
Yeah. So they battle each
compared
other.
To California, you come down here, our roads are shit, and people are rude, and it's a filthy.
Yeah.
But you go to Oregon, everything's clean.
For sure.
And they want to run their government their own way.
Each is a little country.
Yeah, in a way. But it's better. It's obviously better this way.
That's the best definition of what I know what a republic is. Mm-hmm. Is it's representative government. It's where all the different representatives of different levels all battle each other.
Yeah, because if we all went California, we'd all be fucked. Even though California was one of the largest economies in the world, it just essentially ran tyrannically in...
Each state is allowed to run tyrannically, according to the Constitution. And if you don't like it, move.
Yeah.
Technically, that's what's happening with California, right?
Mm-hmm. More, it's just absolutely... Really, so much more restrictions. It's ridiculous.
So I'll read you the exact text of the original Constitution of how the Senate was supposed to be elected. Article 1, Section 3, Clause 1 says, "The Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof." That means the state chose the two senators, the state legislature. Okay? So, the question is, if we were set up as a republic, how come we hear from our politicians about our democracy? Okay. Now, some argued that in a republic, when state legislatures voted for the senators, that this was a corrupt-prone process and that the state legislatures could be bribed. And that could... But the same argument could be had that the senators can be bribed to vote for something. So they found that that's not wasn't really a genuine argument. There was also senatorial deadlocks. Some states chose not to... They had deadlocks and they couldn't vote for a senator for senators in time, and some states went for like 4 years without having senators. Well, you know what I consider? That's their bad. And if they lock it up like that and they don't have representation in the Senate, then their representation just they don't get represented in the Senate. There's also a complaint was that there was slow passing of legislation. Like you couldn't pass laws because everybody was disagreeing all the time. I think that's a good thing, personally. And then the other argument against it was that the Senate was out of step with the will of the people because the Senate acted like in England. You have the House of Commons, which represents the people. You've got the House of Lords, which represents like the wealthy barons and landowners, and then you've got the monarchy. But the Senate kind of represented the House of Lords, and they thought that they were out of step with the people because they were like almost aristocracy. But that's how it's supposed to be. When you have that balance between all the three different groups is when you have a republic.
And look at in our scenario now, we have like Colorado. It's illegal to smoke weed there, sell it, distribute it, and their economy jumped. California didn't take that initiative. People were fucking stupid or whatever.
They left here.
Yeah.
To go there.
And now people are like, oh, maybe it's not so bad, you know, or they could look at other states and be like, this is what works for them.
And a lot of states follow each other
mm-hmm.
because of off of what works.
But do you think in that case... Eventually, everything's just going to work out to be divided by two ways, like, you know, red state, blue state, nothing in between.
Maybe. And you can vote with your feet.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
It just sucks because I do love California. I just hate the fucking politicians that are ruining it, over-regulating us.
Yeah.
And infringing on, basically, just let us be free. You can't even fucking smoke a cigarette or throw a frisbee on the beach or whatever. It's stupid.
I know.
And nothing's ever to better anybody else.
No.
It's not making it better.
An agenda. It's always an agenda.
It's not making it anything better.
And that's kind of what the founding fathers knew. They knew there's always be the agenda is always for themselves to have more power, which means less by us.
Mm-hmm.
Power isn't like an infinite resource. It has to get taken from somewhere for somebody else to have more of it. Right. I believe power should be held at the most local level possible. Most power should be held with the individual. That's kind of just what I believe. But let's get into where this all changed. Because I talked to you guys about what the Constitution says about how the Senate was supposed to be set up, how it's supposed to be elected by the state legislatures. We're going to get into where everything changed, okay, when we come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Nine Inch Nails with capital G.
Is there any group out there, a collective group that signs their name with a capital G? Well, that's maybe right. We'll get into that a little later on other episodes of the podcast.
The Gorillaz? Godsmack?
No.
Good riddance.
Could be Freemasonry. But...
gotcha.
You know, it's the compass and the square with a G, capital G in the middle.
Masons.
So, where did this all change? This all changed from our constitutional republic into a democracy with the passing of the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment was passed in Congress in the spring of 1912, and it was ratified by the states in the spring of 1913. This is the same period of time when the Federal Reserve Act was passed and the income tax was passed. All unconstitutional. All three unconstitutional. This is when you had major tyrannical control take over the nation. But let's get into what the actual text of the 17th Amendment says. Now, instead of it being these two members of the Senate are elected by the state legislatures, which gives you state representation, this is the new text. Here's the 17th Amendment, the beginning part of it. The Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state elected by the people thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote. So now, after the 17th Amendment, the Senate is now composed by popular vote also. So you've got democracy being held in the House of Representatives, and in the Senate, you've got democracy. And each are both being beholden to popular vote by the people. Now, the Senate's no longer elected by the state legislature, and the state, as an entity, has no representation in the federal government at all. So the 17th Amendment changed everything. And with states no longer represented, our system essentially became a democracy. The only thing protecting individual liberties now is the Bill of Rights, which now acts nothing. It acts as nothing now but historical nostalgia, because there's no people out there that are really willing to... sorry. There's no people out there that are willing to stand up for the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights and a Republican government were what was protecting our freedom. Now we don't have Republican government. The only thing left is the Bill of Rights. And we see it's being violated constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are now, by all intents and purposes, a democracy. So, now that we know that we're a democracy, I'm going to kind of bring up some quotes.
But that being said, I mean, don't you think it's weird that they're... I mean, they've always, like, wanted people to vote. It's like, hey, get out and vote, you know. But now the push to vote is even stronger. And now they want to make it mandatory to vote?
Because voting has never been the problem. And I'll give you one quote. V.I. Lenin, who was one of the major formers, he took Karl Marx's ideas and really ran with them with the initial Soviet Union, right? He said, democracy is indispensable to socialism. He knew that democracy is socialism. Socialism. It's where everybody gets what they want. Well, that's what where the majority gets what they want.
That's
it's
the idea.
It's the same thing.
But it doesn't work.
It oppresses the 49%. It's not fair. It's not a fair system of government, especially if there's such thing as propaganda. If people can be propagandized, it's not fair. I'm going to read this is from Wikipedia, and it goes into Frederick Engels. Frederick Engels is the wealthy capitalist who hired Karl Marx to write the Communist Manifesto. Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, they were Grand Orient Masons. These were like, even Karl Marx wasn't a rich guy, but he was hired by Frederick Engels, was a rich, rich dude, belonged to a rich, rich family, extremely racist, which is funny because so many black people now sign on to socialism and they don't understand that the guy that wrote the book was extremely racist.
Against black people in general or just...
Blacks, extremely racist against blacks, extremely racist against Jews, even though he was a fucking Jew, and extremely racist against Slavs, hated Slavs. The guy is just full of hate. He's you know, it's like when a person really starts decaying as a person is when they start getting full of hate towards more and more groups, you know, because they want to blame those other groups. People.
Yeah, they blame them for their problems.
Yeah, exactly. They want to blame everybody else. And that's exactly, this guy started to do that. But that was Marx. Karl Marx is all, you know, even his theories on capital and... If you guys, if you're listening to the show, you're probably starting to get hungry for knowledge. Study Marx. Get into what he talked about. He advocated a cashless system. He said capital, the fact that we have capital, is inherently corrupt. Because when you have capital, then it becomes like you'll always have exploitation. There'll always be people that want that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some interesting theories, and a lot of them are pretty close to truth, but but it goes completely wrong at other parts too. So anyways, he'd be a good thing if you're really hungry for some of this knowledge. But here's a little thing from Wikipedia. The role of democracy in Marxist thinking may refer to the role of democratic processes in the transition of capitalism to socialism, or to the importance ascribed to participatory democracy in a post-capitalist society. Karl Marx believed that democracy is the road to socialism. Although this line is not directly stated in his works, democracy being Greek for rule by the people, Marx believed that the working class could achieve power through democratic elections, but the working people had the right to revolt if they were denied political expression. After the workers, i.e. the proletariat, achieve political power and use the state to transform bourgeoisie society into a classless communist society, the state would lose its reason for existence, which is the suppression of the one class by the other, and would no longer be needed. But how long after the revolution will the state continue to exist? In his 1891 introduction to The Civil War in France, Frederick Engels wrote, "In reality, however, the state is nothing but a machine for the oppression of one class by the other, and indeed, in the democratic republic, no less than in the monarchy, and at best an evil inherited by the proletariat after its victorious struggle for class supremacy, whose worst sides, the victorious proletariat, just like the Paris Commune, cannot avoid having to lop off at once as much as possible until such time as a generation reared in new free social conditions is able to throw the entire lumber of the state on the scrap heap. He's basically saying that once the working class overthrows all of the rich people, that they are all going to live for each other, and it's going to be this great happy place, and the state will simply wither away because they just won't need it anymore because they're not being oppressed, and that the whole purpose of having a state is to oppress the under people. Well, I disagree, and I expressed it earlier on this show. I think the purpose of having a government, the purpose of having a state, is to protect your freedoms. I believe that at some point, even in early man, a group of people probably got together and they started having kids, and they started having maybe 50 people, and they were like, okay, at some point we have to all agree that we're going to at least got to have some guards to defend us.
Yeah, while you're out hunting or
24
whatever.
Hours a day, like at least, and we can rotate who that is. But this is the initial phases of government
stuff. Yeah, yeah, that would be from like a natural predator.
But that, but just the recognition that you, a government is
that you're
probably
vulnerable.
Necessary at some point. There are certain jobs that nobody wants to do, you know, just because that's what they like doing, but because the community all needs it, you know. So I do see the purpose of government. But anyways, that's in stark contrast to what Engel says, that once the oppressors are thrown off, then you can have anarchy. It's a lie. And it's never existed in history. Every time the proletariat rises up, has a revolution, there, it's always followed by a dictatorship. Every single time.
Well, you'd have to be like a farmer or something, somebody so self-sufficient, you could go out, get your own metals, your own crops.
But you're always at risk of being invaded by foreign groups then. You know? That's kind of the plight here, that's why I believe in government. That's why I feel like there you need to have some government, but it needs to be the correct type. And that's where everybody goes wrong. the masses always... So here's kind of I agree with this definition of what a democracy is. The masses always vote themselves largesse from the public treasury until society eats itself. Then a dictatorship must step in to save the people from themselves. That's what a democracy is. I'm going to just finish off the information I have with this little quote. And this is how a democracy... 10 steps to a dictatorship, sorry. 10 steps to a dictatorship. Number one, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy. Number two, create a gulag. Number three, develop a thug caste. Number four, set up an internal surveillance system. Number five, harass citizens' groups. Number six, engage in arbitrary detention and release. Number seven, target key individuals. Number eight, control the press. Number nine, dissent equals treason. And number 10, suspend the rule of law. So I think that that's kind of, I mean, exactly the process that we're heading into. And that should thoroughly answer the question of, is America a democracy or a republic?
Well, what do you think, Nick? It's taught that we are a democracy.
When we, for all intents and purposes, we are right now a democracy. But we were not set up that way on purpose.
I like the breakdown of states' laws and stuff like that. But it does seem like the feds are trying to overreach any chance they get, just like we've talked about on our police state podcast.
And you can't expect them to do anything else. That's their nature.
Yeah. But yeah, to draw more power, suck more and grow. Yeah. The succubus of government.
Anything's nature is to grow. So your nature is to grow. My nature is to grow. Plants' nature is to grow. Anything's nature is to grow unless it's dying. You know, but there's weeds that's nature is to grow, and these things, certain things got to be controlled, mitigated. Government is the biggest thing, I think, in the history of the world whose nature needs to be mitigated. I think it acts as a major weed.
Mm-hmm. And that has been producing less.
Because it extracts nutrients.
Yeah, all it is more and more taxes, more public employees, and less of a result. Nothing's getting better. That's my qualms, I guess, I have with it.
Yeah, it extracts nutrients. Where if we had a pretty much a voluntary society, a free market society, we'd each be contributing. We would each be entering into contracts with each other. Mm-hmm. And those contracts are mutually beneficial. They're mutually entered into. I wouldn't enter into a contract with you if I didn't think it benefited me. You wouldn't enter into a contract with me if you didn't think it benefited you. These buildings would be built still.
Exactly.
The Industrial Revolution happened on this system. You know, like, the thing is, we've never really... The world has never really been allowed to be free. We've only had tiny little points in history where it was barely tried for a little bit and not even fully, just slightly tried, and shit skyrocketed. So I just fathom the day when we can get it right, set up the system right, and allow human beings to go trust each other and, you know, just go for it. I bet it would be crazy. But I do think that that's where history is headed, because I think that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. And people, I think, not right now, they don't show it as much, but it's something we all crave.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say, man?
For sure, man. I agree. Let's end it there. You got anything else? Closing statements?
Thank you for downloading the Beacon Podcast. This was a great show. Sorry it's been such a gap between shows.
There has been.
But you're a busy guy. Even busier than normal, it seems.
Yeah.
Same with myself.
Yeah.
But
I would like to, I haven't discussed it with you yet, but what I would like to do for the next show is there's an article, a story. It's a short story that was written by a gentleman who was... in Bosnia, when Bosnia was going through their war with Herzegovina or whatever, remember when that was in the 90s, like the early 90s, Kosovo and
yes.
All that shit. His whole town got completely cut off militarily for over a year, and there was no access in, no access out, and no law enforcement. Anyways. This article is about how his society completely crumbled, and he talks about who survived, who didn't, what they did to survive, what had value, what didn't have value. So I'll send it to you, but I think our next show should be on this story because it is crazy. You guys got to hear this. That'll be our next show, and you guys you know how to find us if you've been listening to the show. You can find us on Twitter at, what is it?
At Beacon Podcast.
Yeah, Beacon Podcast.
I got it right. Oops. Don't got it. Yeah, Twitter at Beacon Podcast, Facebook, The Beacon Podcast, or email us. Send us in some information if you have any cool articles that you'd like us to check out or please. Talk about.
Please, we'll dive into them.
TheBeaconPodcast@gmail.com. Good show. Thanks, Matt. Good tune. Oh, yeah. If there's tunes or any other. If you're a band that wants to put your song on here.
Hell yes.
We'd love to do that. Please, that'd be awesome.
Please. We love you guys and thank you so much. Remember, this ideology, this is actually, we view this as very, very important. This has the capacity to change the world. So we love you guys. And until next time, peace.
Later.
asleep.